The first day I went from Ireland to Britain, to England, to London in 1975, I'd been to London before that, but this was the time when I moved there and ended up staying in the UK for 30 years. But that first year, I went down Gower Street in London, and I was by myself, and I went into the canteen in ULU, University of London Union, up, I think, about 5 stories, right up at the top of the building. And the wonderful thing was that I knew nobody there. I was anonymous. I was able to just walk in there off the street. I wasn't a student. I was an ordinary member of the public, and I was delighted that it was possible to go into a bit of a university I knew nothing about at the time, and settle down in the corner, and people watch. And in those days, there was no way of recording what I was doing or anything like that. I could have written a diary, but I wasn't writing a diary at the time. I just, presumably, I read a newspaper or read a book. I was big into reading newspapers and books at the time. So there I was in the middle of a noisy, crowded room, lots of people getting food, and the food was not expensive, so that was another great thing. And to my disgust, to my huge disgust, out of the blue, someone came across to my table and said, "Hello, Paul." And you know, it was so upsetting to me that I don't remember who that person was, except I know that somebody I knew, probably somebody from Dublin, but they could have been somebody I knew somewhere else in London. And they came up and said hello to me. And I had to sit down and talk to them, or they had to sit down and talk to me. Everything was very polite and everything like that. I didn't behave out of, you know, in an unacceptable manner, and I didn't lose any friendship. But I was mad. I was really cross. And why was I cross? I was cross because what I wanted in London in those days was anonymity. I wanted to disappear into the heterogeneity of the city, the energy of the city, the place in the city where nobody knew your business, you didn't know anybody else's business, no one said hello to you, nobody interrupted your time, everybody respected your space. And you could just be yourself, by yourself, for yourself, rather than having your precious time interrupted by somebody who you never wanted to be there in the first place. And I've never forgotten that wonderful feeling that London gave me of moving away from a place where I was, in my eyes, much too well known, to a place where I wasn't known at all. A place which was big enough to be unknown. A place where it was big enough to reinvent yourself. A place where anonymity was a way of revealing the self that was within, rather than maintaining a front. I mean, I have lots of ways of expressing it, and I'm really just almost like speaking all the different options and way of thinking about it to myself right now when I say this. But have you ever had that kind of a feeling, welcoming anonymity, welcoming the impersonalization of the space, and valuing solitude, valuing peace? And I say this as a mad raving extrovert. You know, I'm not somebody who always wants to be talking with other people. I don't think that's, well, that'll take us on to another topic. We won't go there. But so then I want to contrast this. I want to contrast this with the Ireland I came back to 30 years later. Because that diversity and anonymity of UK society remained with me and remains constant. You can live next to people in certainly in parts of England, which is where I know best, and hardly ever speak to them. And you can live perfectly peacefully and perfectly happily, and you're not in at loggerheads. Whereas if you came to Ireland and you didn't talk to your neighbours, there would definitely be some form of tension. But it's dangerous to speak in Ireland. It is dangerous to talk. It is dangerous to open your mouth about people at all. You can, if you go to any kind of a gathering and you're chatting with somebody about something, somebody you know, and you say something like, in reply to their question, where were you yesterday, which is entirely possible, or what you get up to in Dublin, and you say, oh, I met a guy called John Higgins, works in the sheep shearing factory in anywhere in Dublin. And the next thing is you've opened up a can of worms. Because what will definitely happen will be, first of all, there'll be an effort by the person you're talking to find out if they also know John Higgins, or Sean O'Higgins, if you want to have it in Gaelic. Yeah, there'll be an effort, a serious effort, and you'll get you into conversations like, would that be one of the O'Higgins from County Louth now? Would he be from there by any chance? And then you'll get into, yeah, actually he is. Oh my goodness, my aunt's second cousin, twice removed, is married to somebody whose first cousin lives down the road from a guy who's called O'Higgins. Would it be Johnsy O'Higgins by any chance? And that's the kind of conversations that go on. Now, of course, if that kind of conversation goes on, you can't be free and easy with what you say to somebody. So let's assume that Sean O'Higgins is a right wally, to use some people's language, or a right turd, to use other people's language, or he's a lousy fecker, to use somebody else's language, or is it a scoundrel or a rogue, to use somebody else's language, and I won't go on with all the possibilities. And you were to say, oh God, I was with an absolute wretch of a guy yesterday. You wouldn't believe what he did, that and that. And before you know it, you can ever so easily be drawn into revealing the person's name, and then you're scuppered. You're completely scuppered. You really want to be quick on your toes and be really up for white lies if you're going to dig yourself out of, you know, stuff like that. And that's the thing about Ireland. In a sense, you could say everyone is related. I'm using the word related in a very broad way, not just through blood. Everyone is related to everyone else. There, people talk about 6 or 7 degrees of separation. You know, you could, sticking with it, forget about social media and who people are connected to via social media and Facebook and all that. Just forget all that kind of stuff, but just stick with the analog world, if you like, and think about the number of connections that Irish people have with each other. It's a really tiny community. People learn, people who've got nous and more sense than I have, learn never to speak ill of anybody. Anybody. Now, you know, in the UK, I would say lots of people would respect never speak ill of the dead. And of course, that would be an Irish thing as well. That would be, you wouldn't speak ill of the dead. But I suspect that exists in many countries. But don't speak ill of anybody in Ireland, because it'll turn out that they're, you know, you're a relative of yours, or a relative of a relative. And then, once you've revealed that, they've got one on you, right? They know something that you said. And what you said could be used against you. So there's a mutual tie has opened up if you've been foolish enough to let your hair down and say freely what you think of somebody. It doesn't matter whether it's justified or not. It really doesn't. The only way you'll get mutual keeping of, we'll say, secrets, is if you can get one on them. And that's another story, and that's not why I'm here today. So really, the word I want to give you is related. In Ireland, everyone is related to everyone else. And there's a whole lot of behaviors that follow from that. And the word related I offer to the Audio Mo community that's sharing pieces of audio with each other during the month of June. And that's my word for today, related. Thank you very much. Bye for now.